This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions. On the show today, we have RiskScout's very own Ryan McInerney. He's talking about what credit unions need to consider when using cryptocurrency for lending. So check it out. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Ryan McInerney from RiskScout. How are you, Ryan?
I'm not doing bad. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Happy. I think we're kind of in the tail end of summertime here, the last month of it. But hope all has been well in your neck of the woods at RiskScout.
Yeah. And it finally rained in Texas. So it's all
Oh, I think it rained a lot in Texas. Oh my gosh. Especially in the Dallas area. I've been hearing nothing about that. I mean, it's just crazy what's going on there. So hope you guys are doing A-okay in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Can't complain. We're dry.
Staying afloat. All right. Hey, today we're talking about something pretty cool, and it's cryptocurrency and lending and bringing the two together. And so, yeah, I want to ask you, Ryan, because this is kind of the next step in the evolution, I think, in crypto. And I think you're right on that. So kind of share your insights on some of the trends and issue and the uses of a cryptocurrency for lending here. So what can we look for, and what can credit unions kind of capitalize on here?
Yeah. So to start off, just cryptocurrency lending in general, the way we typically hear about it is really, at the end of the day, margin lending. So it'll be some sort of shadow banking entity that's lending on the cryptocurrency itself. And the risks with that is a lot of these shadow banking entities aren't really capitalized the same way we'd expect a credit union or otherwise financial institution to be capitalized. So One example that we saw recently was Celsius. I think they've been going through bankruptcy since about June. It might be a little earlier, it might be a little later than that. But essentially, their capitalization ratio was about 5% before they started having all the troubles they did. Mm-hmm. And all they were doing was essentially margin lending. And they aren't subject to Regulation T, which would normally govern margin lending in our traditional financial institutions. Yep. So that's a lot of what we've been seeing just on the normal side of things in crypto. And so when you're hearing that, just know it's mostly margin lending. It doesn't really get much more complex than that, although there are some relationships where it's strictly contract-based.
Gotcha. And being a former examiner, I'm talking about you, Ryan. So what are your thoughts on the risks from a regulatory standpoint in this area?
Yeah, I mean, so if you were to be doing the margin lending on the financial institution side of things,
sure.
Just trying to make sure that you're in line with the guidance that would have been issued, or I mean, the laws and regulations that are issued through Regulation T. So initial margin of 50%, maintenance margin minimum of 25%. I don't know if the place for traditional financial institutions to be competitive is really on the margin lending side of things. Where I see a good entrance point for credit unions would really be in kind of traditional lending to a lot of these crypto type companies. Mm-hmm. So when we look at, say, a coin administrator or maybe some sort of mining arrangement where they're purchasing equipment, lending on that commercial real estate can be a lucrative way of entering into the industry and getting to know those companies a little bit better. Because if they're owner occupied in that commercial real estate space, then you're starting to understand the financial picture of how that customer operates. Mm-hmm. And then as you start to understand them a little more, you can tailor your financial products in a way where you have that expertise and you can support those companies more directly.
Yeah, no doubt. And what should credit unions think about when considering cryptocurrency and lending? Because this is obviously still a brand new world for a lot of us, and credit unions included. So what should they be looking for here or considering?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing to consider is just your traditional, how do I evaluate a credit relationship? Mm-hmm. How do I evaluate a lending relationship? And does this person have a relatively reasonable debt service coverage ratio where I have confidence that I'm going to be repaid? And that could be on the CRE side, that could be on the CNI side, but it's new terms, but it's the same type of lending. If we look back to the tulip craze back in the Netherlands, right?
Yeah.
It would have been the same thing. It's just a different name for a different thing.
So why is it, what's the significance of this here? Obviously, crypto is still this, again, a brand new world for a lot of, there's a lot of opportunity out there, obviously. So the significance to credit unions in getting into this space. So what's the importance here or the significance of it?
Okay. So this, I think, is actually a really interesting question. So I believe it was the Fed or the FDIC. I can't remember who just published this report. I want to say it's the Fed. Mm-hmm. But they survey chief financial officers from a lot of financial institutions around the country. And the survey for this most recent one included a lot of information around crypto. And one of the questions was, do you expect to be using crypto in your kind of day-to-day management as a tool, maybe blockchain, tool in your liquidity risk management? In over 1 to 2 years, there's like 10% of CFOs that were like, yeah, I'd use that, which I think we'd expect.
Yeah.
But as this technology continues to develop over 3 to 5 years in the 5 year plus span, a lot of those CFOs, more of them were potentially thinking about using this liquidity risk management item. So I think it was around 30 to 40% that longer term outlook.
Yeah.
So when we talk about starting to engage these customers from whether it be a lending relationship, whether it be a deposit taking relationship, it's really about starting to understand the space a little bit more and how we support it and how we use it.
Yeah.
So if there's ways to support a customer that might be doing something that's really facing a totally different industry, that's great.
Yeah.
If also supporting that customer where you're starting to learn how their technology might improve the technology that you use within your credit union, even better. So yeah, I think there's a lot of ways to benefit.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm thinking about, you know, the recent kind of, well, shall I say, dip in crypto, you know, in investments. Do you think that's going to put kind of a bit of a governor on it right now? Or do you think people are still kind of going full bore on this as some people think, hey, this is just a check. This stuff is still going to happen. It's still going to come around. So what's your take on that as far as investment purposes?
Well, my take on it is it's just a check. Yeah. And I think there's a quote, I want to say it's Warren Buffett. I'm a big fan of this quote. It's, when the tide goes out, you can see who's wearing pants. And so in this scenario, right, as the tide has gone out, you can see which of these projects might have been a little bit more frivolous, a little frothy, and something that really doesn't have a marketplace.
Yeah.
And after this, now you can tell, okay, these are the types of firms, these are the types of customers that are more cemented, have a really solid base, and something to build off of.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of evaluating these projects because there's so many different types of projects. But what's their end goal? What's their potential addressable market? And is it something that we really see utility with?
Yeah, I kind of liken it to the dot-com boom back in the early 2000s or like right around 2000 when you had just every company or, you know, everybody had something going, you know, web-based at that time and people were just throwing money around like it was just silly play money and stuff. But when that bubble burst, that's when you saw the real players kind of rise to the top and the ones that didn't have any legs, you know, obviously they weren't wearing pants when the tide went out. So, so I kind of liken it to this. This is kind of the big shakeout, I think, you know, to who's viable and who's not. So that's kind of how I see it. Is it kind of what you're kind of going down that path as well?
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned the internet adoption, because if you take a graph and show 90s internet adoption versus 2010s to 2020s crypto adoption, it's almost the identical.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a very similar line.
Oh my gosh.
And typically when you're looking at following a trend to maturity, it's over a 30-year period.
Yeah.
And so we think about the internet, right, having really gotten its roots in the 90s. Now it's part of everything. I'd say it's a mature industry, right? Yeah, like everyone has the internet.
Yep.
So in 20 years, if this is something that continues to grow and the market starts to mature in 20 years, we'll know whether or not crypto was on the way, but it's got the same trend right now.
Yeah. I think it's got some, well, speaking of legs, I think it's got some serious legs here. And so, yeah, so we're all going to see it. For sure. Anything else to add to wrap it? I mean, this is something we could go off on many, many angles here, Ryan. So any final thoughts here to wrap up on this one?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the most important things whenever you're looking at a crypto company is whether or not they are a money transmitter, because many of these companies will be designated as money transmitters, essentially money service businesses by FinCEN. Mm-hmm. So if you are engaging in some relationship, just making sure that you're identifying what business that entity is actually conducting and you're monitoring that business appropriately.
Okay. Good. So yeah, I was going to ask you any advice for folks out there, and that's really good advice. So
yeah.
All right, Ryan. Well, thanks again. Appreciate the time as always. I look forward to you coming back on and giving us another update in this world, because it's always changing, as you well know, but we always appreciate your expertise and your insight. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Anytime, sir. This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions.